Good morning and welcome to Holmgate Evangelical Church on this, the first Sunday in September 2020. We're going to continue on our series this morning looking at the book of Mark. We just put this to one side just for the month of August when we consider together the Gospel and the Minor Prophets. But we return back to this series entitled Jesus, A Ransomed Life, and we find ourselves this morning in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And verses 22 through to 26 are the passage that we're going to be considering from this morning. But before we look at that, let's just pray together, shall we? Loving Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you for another opportunity to gather around you, Lord, to hear your word again. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you that your word is truth. It is light to our path. It is food for our hungry souls. And so, Lord, as we hear from your word today, we pray, Lord, that you would indeed feed us, Lord, spiritually this night, that we would truly know this day that you have met with us. Lord, give us all needed understanding, Father. We pray our hearts and our minds would be intent and concentrate on you and all that your spirit is saying to your church in these days, for Jesus' sake and his glory. Amen. So this morning we come to one of the most unusual miracles ever performed by the Lord Jesus. That was something that one of the writers, one of the commentators particularly said. He said this is a most curious event, and he was right. In fact, there are three unusual things about it. The first is that the miracle only shows up in the book of Mark. I think it must have really affected Peter, as I remind you that it's he who's relaying this story to Mark. And so he wanted to make sure that this was included in the narrative of the gospel. This is also the only miracle with Jesus performs in stages. It's a two-stage healing miracle, which is unusual. Often the Lord Jesus Christ would just actually heal someone there and then straight away. In fact, as we've noticed through the book of Mark, there's that sense of urgency. There is an immediacy about it. This is also the only place where the Lord Jesus Christ actually spits on someone. We know on another occasion he used his spit, but never actually spat on someone. We know that having tracked the Lord Jesus Christ and his miracles through this book thus far, that he could heal at once without healing in stages. Also know that this is not too difficult a healing for the Lord Jesus Christ to do. Not only is he God, and so these things are possible to him, but also he's performed some more difficult from a human perspective things. So this is not a difficult thing for the Lord Jesus to solve. So we must conclude that this miracle must have been designed by the Lord Jesus Christ to teach his non-seeing disciples and us as well an important lesson. I think that it's seen straight away with the word they write at the beginning of our reading in verse 22. It connects us to that, what Jesus had just said in verse 21. Turn back to the passage if you would. In verse 21 of chapter 8 it says this: he said to them, do you still not understand? And they came to Bethsaida, and some brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. The they there is his disciples. They are those that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. They are those who don't fully understand. As it says in verse 18 of this particular chapter, they have eyes but they just don't see. They still hadn't really figured out that the Lord Jesus Christ was God, that he is Saviour and he is King. They could not see it. So this odd miracle which performed by the Lord Jesus Christ is to show them this truth. In fact, this miracle is performed just before Jesus asks them who they think he is. This may seem just like an odd miracle on the surface, but there are some incredible things that we can see in here as we look at this miracle together. But the primary point that I want us to see this morning is this, that in order for anyone to see God's truth clearly, they must have a private and a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that that relationship, that we must possess. It is a process over time that a person totally believes in him and is willing to let him lead their life. Until we come to see the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Saviour, we won't have a clue about any of these things. In Isaiah 35, verses 5 to 6, it is predicted that when the Messiah would come to establish his kingdom on Israel, it says this, that the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb will be shout with joy. When Jesus came to this world, he did that to many, many tens of people, nay, hundreds of people who he healed. As a result, Israel should have recognized him as their Messiah and honored him as their Messiah and King. Had they done that, the things prophesied Isaiah and the prophets would have been fulfilled there and then, and the Lord Jesus Christ would have established his kingdom. He still would have gone to the cross. Their sins were only covered. The Lord Jesus Christ dealt with sin, not only covered sin, but actually forgave sins on the cross. He paid the price for sins. But in order for him to do what they would have needed to admit that they themselves were sinners and in need of forgiveness, that could only be found in the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the sad truth is, to this day, most Israel still refuses to admit this. They still refuse to admit their need of a Saviour who is Jesus. So as we come to this text, Jesus is wrapping up his Galilean ministry. Literally, he is about to set his face towards Jerusalem. He'd done some incredible things in Galilee. In verse 22, it says that they came to Bethsaida, that area where the Lord Jesus Christ had been with his disciples before this, that area where he'd fed the thousands of people with just a few loaves and a couple of fish. There were five details that I want us to see, five things that happened within Bethsaida that give us an understanding to this particular passage. The first thing we notice there in verse 22 is that they brought this blind man to the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to Bethsaida and some people brought a man, a blind man, and begged Jesus to touch him. Do you know, oftentimes the idea of being blind and having sight is a metaphorical picture of seeing or of understanding or of not seeing or of not understanding spiritual truth. That is seen and demonstrated throughout this particular passage and on other texts as well. This is key to unraveling this very text. You see, no one will ever see truth or understand truth without a personal understanding and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point his disciples didn't fully understand, or many of the people who came to see him and listen to him. So when Jesus Christ comes to Bethsaida, some of the townspeople brought him a blind man that they wanted Jesus to heal. Throughout the whole of this book, we have seen people beg the Lord Jesus Christ to heal them. Whether it's in chapter 1 and verse 20, chapter 5 and 23, 6 and 56, or chapter 7 and 32, people recognize that Jesus was a great healer. But what they didn't recognize is that they didn't recognize him as a sin-saving saviour or the one who could give spiritual sight to those who are spiritually blind. There is no question that people believed Jesus could do miraculous things, that he could heal. But they did not believe he could spiritually save, nor did they believe that they needed to be spiritually saved. We know that from what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 21. Let's just read it. In fact, I just go a wee bit back. I'll go to verse 20 of Matthew 11. It says this. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. Goes on to say, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? Jesus had done some incredible miracles in these very places, but they still didn't believe. In fact, I remind you again that the Lord Jesus Christ had his northern headquarters in Capernaum. He spent much of his time there. The people saw him on a daily basis, and yet they still refused to believe in who he was. And so the second thing you notice there in the third part of chapter 22, they begged Christ to touch him. These people knew that a physical touch from the Lord Jesus Christ could indeed heal this man. But carefully notice, it is not the man who is doing the begging here of Jesus. It's actually his friends. His friends are begging Jesus to heal this man. This blind man, this man himself had not asked for anything of the Lord. In fact, we could conjecture, we could suspect that he may have not been a somewhat of a proud man. He didn't want to humble himself to ask the Lord Jesus Christ for healing, or certainly not for salvation. What is also very interesting is that these people beg Jesus for physical healing for their friend, but they do not beg him for spiritual salvation for their own sins. They again did not recognize who Jesus is. This group wanted what Jesus could give them physically, but not what he could give them spiritually. However, the scriptures record for us that Jesus took the blind man out of the village. He had compassion on him. Verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" Don't overlook this. They've just asked Jesus to touch the man, but look what Jesus does. He takes this man by the hand out of the village, away from the people who brought him. Now, obviously, the blind man could not follow Christ on his own. And so you get this lovely imagery of Christ himself, the Messiah, God, leading him by the hand. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ does. He takes people who are blind and he leads them to the point that they can see. And this is the point he wants his disciples to see here themselves. This must have seemed to be somewhat of a peculiar, because he had certainly performed many miracles in public before. But what we have here is what Jesus personally taking someone by the hand who has not even asked him to heal him. Remember, his disciples are still somewhat disbelieving in spite of all that they'd seen him do. They still didn't fully understand him. Again, I remind you of verse 21. Do you still not understand, the Lord Jesus Christ said to them. The answer that they should have gave is, no, we don't. Their actions prove that. So this becomes a very visual lesson which teaches that it is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is crucial for people to be able to see truth. In order to see and to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, you need to have a personal relationship with him. When Jesus had fed the thousands in this very area, this disciple's heart was hardened. They were still stumbling around in their faith. When he walked on the water to them in the boat, right after that particular miracle, they actually thought he was a ghost. They have spent hours, days, months, even over years with the Lord Jesus Christ at this point, but they still did not understand. Now, it has been debatable by theologians as to why the Lord Jesus Christ took the man alone. Some have suggested that he wants to get away from the crowd of people who would maybe chase him for further cures. Some have suggested that he was interested in this man personally and took him away from the crowd to show an individual and a personal interest in sinners. Some suggest that this is due to the fact that Jesus is through with Bethsaida. You know, he'd done some incredible miracles in this town, and they still didn't believe. And so it was almost like a demonstration of him saying, do you know what? I've had enough of you lot. I'm not going to perform for you in any way. I've just had enough. Some have suggested that the crowd, that they may well want to make him king again. And he didn't want to rev them up. Remember, this was the group who had wanted to make the Lord Jesus Christ king by force back in John 6 verse 15, just after the feeding of the 5,000. It's recorded there for us. The truth is, we don't know exactly the what, why. There could have been an amalgamation of all of those different things. But what we do know is that the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion. And he heals this man. This is the fourth thing we notice this morning. That Jesus heals this man, but he heals him in two stages. Verse 23 in that second part and through to into 25, it says this. When he had spat on the man's eyes, he put his hands on him, and Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up, and he said, I see people, that they look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Do you know, this is a really unusual miracle. Jesus could have just commanded that the blind man see, and he would have seen. He could have just spoken the word, because he is God. But this is peculiar in that Jesus uses a twofold process to bring about sight for this man. We think that Jesus does this specifically for several reasons. The first reason you see there, Jesus spits on the man's eyes and lays his hand on the man's eyes. Now, when you first read this, this seems like a really gross thing to do. How is it possible that, you know, to spray or to spit or to heal someone and so heal diseased eyeballs? If any other person done this sort of thing, you know, we would be most disgusted by it. Let me assure you, if anybody done that to me, there would probably a fight may start. But this is Jesus, who is God. He does all things with a purpose. He is doing this in order to show his power, to give life. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is deity. It brings life, even his spit. Even his spit can do miracles because he is God. And so Jesus spits on the eyes of this man, or literally, as it says in the Greek, into his eyes. And he lays his hand on the man and asks him if he can see anything. Verse 24 says, the man looked up and he said he saw men walking like trees. That's an unusual thing as well. There are some things to think about here. First of all, trees don't walk. Sounds like an obvious thing. So what we suspect is that his vision was somewhat blurry. He could see what looked like tall men walking around as tall as trees. I remember one Methodist preacher many, many years ago, a dear friend of mine, Frank Jackson, he said he couldn't fully understand this text until one time he was out in Israel and he noticed and he saw some men walking around with massive bundles of branches and bushes on their head. And he said they actually looked like trees walking. He always thought, wonder whether that's what it must have been. Well, maybe so. Maybe he could see these, but there was a lack of clarity. He couldn't quite see properly. However, secondly, for the first time in this man started to see something. He was beginning to see movement, colour, light and shadows. Do you know, this must have been almost like a truly whetting the appetite of this man. That Jesus could really, really make him see. You know, when we first are touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, things are out of focus because we've been so conditioned by the world, by the theories, by the teachings of men. So everything is out of focus. But as we continue on in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and an understanding of his word, we can begin to see things far more clearly. I don't think this is a coincidence. The fact illustrates many things. A faith that sees clearly is a gradual process, not an instant moment thing. We don't suddenly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then suddenly understand absolutely everything. Once you are touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, the door is open to see wonderful things. But it doesn't mean that we see and understand everything at once. We who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ still see in a mirror dimly, even darkly. But one day we will see all things clearly. As we said before, there was two phases to this healing. Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes and his vision was restored to see everything clearly, verse 25 there. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Wow. The actual text, that word where it actually says his eyes were opened, it means he actually looked intently at everything, which means his eyes were just wide open to everything he could see. He saw everything clearly. You know, over a period of time, you begin to see the truth clearly and understand the word of God with a clearer focus spiritually than you've ever done before. You have a greater spiritual sight. And you and I know that that is a process. It doesn't happen just overnight. But there is a process of understanding these things. And it's one of the things that this healing demonstrates for us. Finally, in verse 26, we read this. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Jesus sent the blind man home and encouraged him not to go into Bethsaida. Had this man gone back to the city and shown how he now had his eyesight, the crowd would have again wanted to make the Lord Jesus king by force if they could. But again, they did not want to make him their saviour from sins. Jesus had done giving Bethsaida chances to get right with him. He was through. This is quite a sobering text, folks. It is possible to have seen God do some powerful, incredible things. You may have been around with Christian action and seen a lot and still refuse to believe who Jesus is, still refuse to admit your need of a saviour. Do you know, I've seen people who've been part of church for years and years and years and years and still refuse, still not fully admitted their need to recognise that they are sinners in need of a saviour. That is the story of Bethsaida. They'd seen Jesus Christ perform some incredible things, but they still refused their need. Now, the obvious question is why? Why did Jesus do a two-phase healing? And what is it? Why is the Holy Spirit thought to record this for us in Holy Script? Folks, we must realize that these miracles are designed to teach spiritual realities. They do establish his credentials, that is true. They establish who he is. But they also teach much more than this. Firstly, to teach that one really needs to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to see God's truth. Remember the context of an unbelieving group in Bethsaida and also an unbelieving group of his own disciples. If they don't believe Jesus is the God-man, Saviour, King and Jesus, they will not see God do much of anything. Remember, these are the same disciples that he is going to entrust the truth of the gospel to. He didn't need them to go out and say, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a great healer. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ because he was a really good teacher." No, he needed to make sure that they knew that they could believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins because he is God. God has built into his program with humanity that everything he does is based on faith. Faith in who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You cannot be saved without faith in Jesus. You will not see God do much of anything without faith. In fact, in Hebrews 11, we learn that without faith, it is impossible to please God. People who believe the word of God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in what God says will see God do amazing things. Jesus is in a city called Bethsaida that has rejected him time and time again. He performed some incredible, amazing miracles in that city, and yet they rejected him. They refused to admit that he was the Saviour. God can't work. Well, actually, he refuses to work with people who don't believe in him. Secondly, to teach that the ability to see clearly is a process, which comes as we develop in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that happens over time. Having real spiritual sight is a process. Understanding the word of God and the will of God is not an instant reality. We don't just get saved and suddenly we see and we understand everything. Seeing and understanding God's word clearly takes time. Thirdly, I want to suggest that this is done in these two stages to show that God actually does heal some people over a process of time. If it is God's will to heal, and I believe that God can heal, but I also believe that God doesn't always heal, but he can because he is God. But if God does heal, it may take some time. But during that time, one should cultivate a close relationship with Christ and carefully listen to his word. Look how this man responded. What he could have said is, no, I can't see. Everything's blurry and I don't think you're the Christ. And he could have turned his back on him. But no, the personal touch from the Lord Jesus Christ, this beginning to open up his vision, it got him intrigued to desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to carefully listen to his words. So that when Jesus Christ finally healed him, he knew who Jesus Christ really was. This takes time for us to fully understand and to listen to his word and be obedient to his word. And fourthly, to teach that there is a difference between the first coming and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this is like a shallot onion. There's one level and another level and another level that we've got to here. Do you know, it will take two miraculous comings of the Lord Jesus Christ before the whole world will acknowledge who he actually is. The first time, many people refused to believe. They didn't see it. In fact, what they saw it very dimly. They didn't see it clear at all. They didn't see that it would who he was the first time. The first touch illustrated that these people had an inadequate view of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not see who he was the first time. But the next time he comes to this earth, they will all see it. They will all get it. And spiritually, their eyes will be opened. And so as we close, can I just say on this final thing, Jesus spat in this man's face for this man's good. Now, going back to what I said before, you know, it was a bit of a disgusting thing what happened here. It's something that you don't really expect. It's something that actually does, I've got to confess, it does make me feel physically sick and angers me when I see people spitting at other people. But Jesus Christ did this for this man's good. Mark would later bring out that people would spit in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. They spat in his face for no good but for evil. Despite all that they saw the Lord Jesus Christ do, they still could not see that he was Jesus. He was their Messiah and King and God. And so they spat on their face. even though he was the only one who could save them from their sins. But they still rejected him. Why would God's Saviour and Creator of this whole universe allow sinful people to spit in his face? Simply this. Because he came to save them personally. He came to forgive their sins. And it is only when you have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that you will fully begin to understand and appreciate who he really is. He is the Saviour. Hallelujah. What a Saviour he is. And so as we close, I pray that we will see the truth of Jesus and we will desire a personal relationship with him that will produce a clear understanding of who he truly is. So let me challenge one or two of us today. Will you ask him to save you? Will you do it even right now? Ask him to give you an understanding, a clarity in who the truth of he is, but also ask him to give you an understanding of your own position before him, that you are a desperate wretch of a sinner in need of a Saviour whose name is Jesus. Cry out to him this day and you will be saved. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Father, we praise and thank you for all that is true about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Saviour, the Messiah, the King, the God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we worship him and we acknowledge this day who he is. Grant salvation, we pray, even this day we ask, for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen.